The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Brain Train with Gail Taylor. If you or someone you love is living with a traumatic brain injury, the next hour could be one of the most important hours of this week. We'll discuss both services and resources available to families and individuals who are in need of these services, and hear from those who are administering and using these services and resources right now. Here is your host, Gail Taylor.
Good morning, and welcome to Brain Train. I'm your host, Gail Taylor. Thanks for joining us today. On the show today, we have Stephen Britnell and his mother, Becky, and we're going to talk about his recovery from a traumatic brain injury, and we're going to talk about what he was like before the injury, how it happened, what treatment and recovery he's had to go through, you know, what has helped him, what has not, and just get an overview of what it's like to be recovering from a traumatic brain injury and what it's like for the family. Welcome to the show, Stephen and Becky.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. So tell me, Becky, what was Stephen like before his injury? What kind of a teenager was he?
He was a very active in sports and in church. He was a very active teenager. He had a wicked sense of humor. Sarcasm is our second language. he was very difficult to read. You couldn't tell what he was thinking. He didn't give anything away with his facial expressions or what was going on behind those. He took everything into those big blue eyes, but he didn't let you see what was going on behind him. So
a little bit mysterious that way, huh?
Yeah, I guess. I think it was just being a third child, you know. He just kind of watched what went on and kept everything to himself until he was ready to tell you what he thought. So
was he a good student in school?
He was as good as he wanted to be. He could get the grades. A long time ago, it became like a script. I'd walk into parent-teacher conferences and hear he's capable of so much more with him and with his brothers. And anyway, he did well when he wanted to. Let's put it that way.
And I know he was a football player in school. Was he active in any other sports?
He played baseball. And when he was younger, he played soccer. Football was the big one, though. It was a lot of fun to hear his name come over the loudspeaker and be there and cheer for him while he was making plays.
Did he have a job after school or on the weekends?
He took a job just a few weeks before his accident with the Coleman Warehouse in Gardner, Kansas. He worked Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and every other Wednesday from 6 o'clock in the evening to 6:30 in the morning. And I allowed him to do that because he was riding with a friend who worked there at the same hours, and they would go to school until noon on the days that they'd go to school until noon, and then they'd go home and catch a little bit of sleep, and then they'd get up and go to work. And when they got home from work, they would go pretty much straight to school. So for those few days, they were getting by on very little sleep, but his friend drove, and Stephen was able to help his friend stay awake until the day of his accident.
Okay, so the day of his accident, how old was Stephen, and where was he at in school?
He was 18 years old, and he was just a few weeks away from graduation.
Okay. And so, you know, tell me about the accident.
Well, the weekend before the accident, he had gone to his girlfriend's prom on Saturday night. So he stayed up. Well, he didn't actually go to prom. That's kind of a long story in and of itself. But he was up all night Saturday night, and he came home Sunday afternoon and asked me for a ride into Cole's. And that was the friend that he rode to work with. He didn't tell me that Cole wasn't going to work that night and that he was going to borrow Cole's car, or everything would have been different. But he ended up driving himself to work that night, working all night. And on his way home Monday morning at about 6:45, he fell asleep and his car left the road. It went into the air. He went through a ditch. The car went into the air. It rolled and spun end over end and side over side several times. It hit once, bounced, and did some more flipping. And we're not sure exactly at what point, but I think sometime after that first bounce, Stephen was ejected. The seatbelt tore, and he was ejected from the car.
Wow, that sounds like that was very terrible. How bad was he hurt? I mean, it's amazing that he lived through something like that.
It's a miracle that he lived through it at all. Right after the accident, a Detective Burke came across the scene of the accident, and then right after he stopped, one of our very good friends, Deputy Steve Lopez, stopped at the scene of the accident to see if he could help, not knowing it was Stephen. And they didn't, at first, the detective didn't know if there was a victim still on the scene of the accident, but then he heard a groan, and he found Stephen just as our friend Steve pulled up and called him over for help. And when our friend saw that it was Stephen, he called back to his wife, who was in the car, who happens to be my best friend, Dee Dee, and told her that she needed to get a hold of me and tell me that Stephen had been in a bad accident. He received very serious injuries aside from the brain injury. He broke his right leg. It was a compound fracture. Somehow throughout the accident, he actually lost 2 inches of tibia. He had lung contusions. He had lacerations on his bowel and colon. He had a tear between his large and small intestine where he was bleeding. He had a tear just off the vena cava that could have easily caused him to bleed out. He lost, I think it was 5 units of blood. My memory's a little foggy now, but they had to roll him over at the scene of the accident because he was literally drowning in his own blood. They knew that they shouldn't because of the chance of neck injuries, which he didn't have miraculously, but they had to, or he would have died right there.
Oh, my. That's just incredibly scary. So they rushed him to the hospital, or did they life-flight him? What happened?
They life-flighted him to KU Med, where he was taken straight up to trauma surgery, and Dr. Richard worked on him all day. There were 3 separate meetings with Dr. Richard, just kind of assessing us the Stephen situation. He told us how very, very serious it was, and didn't give Stephen a whole lot of chance for survival. It was bad. It was very, very bad. And I think it was at the fourth meeting, actually, we were finally told that Stephen had survived the initial surgeries. It took a while to find the tear off of the vena cava and locate where all this extra blood was coming from. And if it had just been even just a tiny bit closer, the vena cava itself would have been torn and he would have bled out just in a matter of seconds. So God's hand was all over him, and there was just a succession of miracles involved in him surviving. But I don't even know what time of day it was when we were told he had survived the surgeries, but the next 72 hours were critical, and that's when they started to tell us that there was probably a brain injury involved. You know, we were just wrapped up in him surviving, and brain injury just kind of skipped off the surface of my mind anyway, as, you know, that's not my biggest problem right now. Is he going to live? So,
yes. Was he going to live? That is a a major issue at a time like that. With the brain injury, because obviously he made it through the next 72 hours. Mm-hmm. And so was he in a coma after that? Or?
Yeah, actually, Dr. Minson was the one that was able to confirm for me in the last interview that he did actually, he was in a coma. He was non-responsive. The first time I saw him, there were so many tubes and wires out of every part of his body. There was literally not 2 inches of his skin that I could rub or touch without a tube or a wire coming out of it. He was in a coma for nearly a month. It was when he was moved from KU to Madonna that they started getting some response and he started to come out of that coma.
And how long did that take? How much time had passed? How long was he at KU before he went to Madonna?
He was at KU from April 23rd, the date of the accident, to May 21st. And they transported him by ambulance from KU Med to Madonna. And once he was at Madonna, they started him on a regimen of neurostimulants and different medications. He was on, I've got the paperwork at home, but he was on so many meds. He was just pumped full of pills. I mean, he couldn't swallow. He didn't have swallow until probably July. But they started to bring him out of that coma with a combination of meds, and we started to see some sign of responsiveness and purposeful response, not just a vacant stare.
Okay. And that was at Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
And so how long was he at Madonna?
He was at Madonna from May 21st to September 21st.
And this is in 2012?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Okay. And so that it's just been at 2 years since his accident then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We just celebrated, if you can call it that, the 2-year anniversary of his survival.
Okay. Well, that is a celebration.
It is. It was
yes.
A hard day.
Well, we're going to stop right here and take a short break. This is Gail Taylor of Brain Train with our guest Stephen Britnell and his mother Becky. And be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Therapy Services offers integrated listening systems programs that improve emotional regulation while training the brain to process sensory information. This improves our regulation and processing and our ability to focus, think, and engage successfully in social situations. ILS can be successfully applied to a wide variety of conditions, including learning and retention and performance optimization. ILS has also helped people with neurodevelopmental disorders, autism spectrum disorders, as well as other psychological and emotional issues and rehabilitation from traumatic brain injuries. For more information about integrated listening systems, please visit the TBI information section of therapyservicesonline.com. to find out how simple it is to bring an ILS unit into your home for a reasonable cost through the ILS Home Rental Program. Work with Gail Taylor today. Visit www.therapyservicesonline.com.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Brain Train. To reach Gail Taylor or her guest on today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to gail@therapyservicesonline.com. Now, back to Brain Train.
Welcome back to Brain Train, and I'm your host, Gail Taylor. And we have our guest with us today, Stephen Britnell, and his mother, Becky, and we're discussing Stephen's accident and how he sustained his traumatic brain injury. And then we're going to hear more about his recovery. So welcome back, Becky.
Thank you.
Now, we were just talking about how he had had his accident. He had been transferred from KU to Madonna. He started having some responses. Mm-hmm. And so you said he was at Madonna until September of that year. And then what happened?
After September?
Yes.
Well, roughly around July, he had started to have some verbal response recovered. He was able to swallow. By the time he came home, he could talk, and I'd say he was probably 70% back. We got home from Madonna on Friday the 21st, and that following Monday, he started outpatient rehab at the Rehab Institute of Kansas City, where he had speech, physical, occupational therapy, as well as exercise group and group therapy and counseling and just different, they had different group type therapies that he would be involved in throughout the day. And it was a big day for him. It wore him out.
Yes. And he was living at home then.
He was. And as a part of Medicaid providing services for him, one of the things that they required was some kind of a home therapist to come in, a transitional living therapist, a cognitive therapist, and they sent us you, and we are very, very thankful for that, because you brought us one of the greatest tools, I think, that have aided in his recovery.
Well, thank you for that. Yes, I met him at the end of December of 2012. That's when I came in, and then I know we started therapy in January of 2013.
And I didn't realize that much time had passed.
Yeah. Yes. And I know he's just come a long way, because, Stephen, when I met you, you were living at home. You were going to the Rehab Institute. You were in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And you were happy for the most part, and you had some very good goals that were achievable, and some that were a little bit more than we should plan for early on. And so we made the goals where they were more measurable. I remember you said you wanted to be able to write your name. You wanted to be able to walk. And things like that. Have you met those goals?
Yes.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. And we're all quite proud of you for that.
Yes, we are.
And so I know what we did when I came in with you was in January. I started meeting with you once a week, and we used the Integrated Listening System, ILS, and we began you with the sensory motor protocol. And because of where you live so far in the country, in the distance, I was only able to see you for one session a week. But you were still going to the Rehabilitation Institute. And that continued until when did he take his break from the Rehab Institute?
Oh, goodness. Gail, I'm not sure.
I think it was the end of May when he stopped.
Was it? I was going to say June, so the end of May sounds about right.
Right.
And he had met the initial goals that they had set, So they discharged him. They wanted him to take a break with the intention of him coming back after a short break, which he did go back after a short break. But while he was on break, was that when we started renting the ILS equipment?
Yes, that's when you decided to rent the equipment so that you could do it more often.
Right.
And you rented it for June and July and then purchased it in August, I believe.
We purchased it through the gifts of some very generous people that helped us raise the funds. Grady's kids and Frankie Elder and Kim Rogers were hugely instrumental in that.
Yes. And which was really nice and kind of them to help you with that because it's, you know, it is a little bit costly. Now, when he at home, he continued with the sensory motor, and some changes happened when
yes.
he was on that break from the Rehab Institute. What started happening that summer when he was doing the ILS more often?
Within just a couple of weeks, I saw his gait. He was walking with a walker at that point and a lot of help, and I saw his gait start to be less halting and smoother. His balance improved. His overall coordination improved. I also noticed his handwriting improving over that period of time. And he was just making huge strides to the point that when we went back to the Rehab Institute, which we call Rick, they were very, very pleased. And I think a little surprised at the amount of progress he had made over the break.
Very good. Yes, because he was walking.
Yes, he had started to walk with a walker at that point. But it was, again, it was very halting, and I didn't get very far away from him at all. Because you just weren't real sure what would happen if you did. His balance wasn't good and his coordination wasn't good, but it was a huge step. And as we used the ILS, we used it at least 3 times a week. We tried to get 5 times a week in, and he made huge amounts of progress in the smoothness of his gait. It wasn't as halting. And he was able to be trusted a little more, and I could get a little bit further away from him.
Well, very good. And yes, he was doing a little bit, the writing you said also improved. He could now sign his name, and he was copying things.
And it was legible, yeah. I mean, I started him copying things as soon as he came back from, we tried. It was very frustrating for him to try to write. But I started him actually copying scripture verses when we got back from Madonna. But it was very difficult. We went for very short verses, and he didn't always get a full verse written at a time, and there wasn't a whole lot in it that you could read. And that was frustrating for him because he was always very proud of his penmanship.
Oh, yes. Yes, he had neat writing before the accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's still working on that, too, but it keeps improving with each day.
Yes, it does.
And so you went back to Rick, and we've continued with the ILS. He finished all the sensory motor, and he began working with concentration and attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, we also did reading and auditory processing, and he also did the ILP, language program.
Mm-hmm.
And he completed that here recently.
Yep. Yes, he
and
did.
What changes did you see in him as a result of the language program?
His speech is smoother. He has a lot of ataxia, which is a technical term that I don't fully understand, but it's just lack of coordination with his mouth and his speech. And his speech therapist, from the beginning, even before ILS, was amazed at how well he could speak because the degree of ataxia is very intense. So I've noticed that his speech has smoothed out. It's less halting, much like his gait. But I also noticed that his short-term memory has improved considerably. And while we still have some issues and there are some questions that I routinely answer multiple times, he's doing a whole lot better with his short-term memory.
Very good. I imagine, Stephen, that feels like quite an accomplishment to be able to remember things better. What do you think?
Yes, it actually feels pretty amazing.
Yes. Yes, you don't feel lost anymore, do you?
Well, not as much, I would say.
Well, that's good. Because that's what we want, is continued improvement. And you've just done an amazing job. Now, with the ILS, Stephen, I know you don't always want to do it.
Hardly ever.
Yes, but it's not hard to do, is it?
Well, no, it's not.
No. And do you ever find it relaxing at all?
Well, relaxing in the sense that I just want to sleep, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it wears him out.
Yes, I do think you get quite tired. Because you are listening to the classical music on the headset with the bone conduction vibrating at the top of that ever so slightly. And so that will, kind of give your brain a workout with those new impulses firing to get those neurons working in a different map so that you can show improvement. So I'm real proud of you because you've really stuck with it. Even when you didn't want to.
Thanks. I'm proud of me, too.
Yeah, because I know it can get old sometimes. It really can. And
yeah.
Right. Well, we're going to stop right here for a moment and take another short break. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn. And this is Gail Taylor for Brain Train, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Therapy Services offers integrated listening systems programs that improve emotional regulation while training the brain to process sensory information. This improves our regulation and processing and our ability to focus, think, and engage successfully in social situations. ILS can be successfully applied to a wide variety of conditions, including learning and retention and performance optimization. ILS has also helped people with neurodevelopmental disorders, autism spectrum disorders, as well as other psychological and emotional issues and rehabilitation from traumatic brain injuries. For more information about integrated listening systems, please visit the TBI information section of therapyservicesonline.com. To find out how simple it is to bring an ILS unit into your home for a reasonable cost through the ILS Home Rental Program. Work with Gail Taylor today. Visit www.therapyservicesonline.com.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Brain Train. To reach Gail Taylor or her guest on today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to gail@therapyservicesonline.com. Now, back to Brain Train.
Welcome back to Brain Train, and I'm your host, Gail Taylor, and we have with us Stephen Britnell and his mother, Becky, and they were talking about Stephen's accident and his recovery and the therapies that worked best for him. And as they were saying, that integrated listening systems is one of the therapies that helped him improve dramatically over the past year. And if you would like to know more about ILS, you can click the link on our host page, or you could go to therapyservicesonline.com, where you can find more information about ILS and the home rental program. Now, Becky, you know, before the accident, you know, you were just a normal mom of all these boys that you have. And, you know, when Stephen had his accident, it dramatically changed your life. And you had to learn a whole new language, basically, to navigate through the insurance and the medical and to learn how to take care of Stephen in a way that would be therapeutic so he could come home. Could you tell us a little bit about what that was like for you?
Yes. The first term I learned in the brain injury world was diffuse axonal injury. That's the type of injury that Stephen has, and that is where the neurons, the communication channels snap, like the cables snap between the neurons. And the damage was so severe that we were told he wouldn't wake up. And we were told that if he did, he wouldn't be Stephen. He would just be a shell, a vegetable. And they based that on the extent of damage, especially around the hypothalamic region. And those were the things that I learned first in the brain injury world. And then as time went on, we learned all about the different trachs and stomas and all of the different equipment that he would have to have. I learned how to navigate a wheelchair. You learn more than you ever want to know about the different government programs and the way that you get by. He had very good private insurance, but Medicaid and the traumatic brain injury waiver in Kansas has provided him with a lot of benefits that we wouldn't have been able to live the way we live without. I was able to continue working after a brief pause in my job to take care of him when he came home. I was able to continue working because of the personal attendance services through the TBI waiver in Kansas. The biggest challenge for me as his mom at this point is not overdosing him on me. It's good for him to have other people involved in his care. It takes the strain off of our relationship, and it allows me to be a mom instead of a drill sergeant or a therapist. Keeping his schedule organized and straight is a huge undertaking because he still has therapy 2 days a week. He has appointments with his physiatrist, with the rehab institute, with his orthopedic surgeon, with the infectious disease specialist. We're going to go see a sports medicine specialist to repair the damage in his left knee. There's a lot to it. There's a lot to keep straight and to keep track of.
Yeah, it's very complicated. Now, did you ever have difficulty finding the right services that he needed? I mean, you are in rural Kansas.
And we're actually going through it again because we're getting ready to relocate into Missouri, so I'm having to familiarize myself with a whole new system. But the Brain Injury Association of Kansas City, and particularly Heather Maddie there, they were instrumental in plugging us in. I tried so hard to get the Social Security application right. And it's a very tricky process because there are questions you have to answer in what seems like a false way, because that's how you get to the next step. You know, it doesn't feel like you're filling it. It's very complicated. That whole application process is very complicated, and Heather was a lifesaver in that. And then just after that, just getting all of the services in place, we were just put in contact with people who helped us through the process. So without the social workers and without the people who dedicate themselves to making it more navigable for a person coming in cold, I just don't know what people would do. The other group that was just huge in helping us was Heads Up, which is a brain injury support group out of Paola, Kansas, and that was formed by survivors and their supporters. And there was a group of women who knew what I would need before I knew that I needed it, and they knew how to help me help Stephen, and that has been a huge support.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, you said it's the Heads Up support group for traumatic brain injury individuals and their families?
Yes, it's absolutely family-oriented because this doesn't affect just a person with a traumatic brain injury. This affects the entire family. We were talking about the interview last night, and my son Nathan said he wanted to come be on it, and he was affected too, and he very definitely was, but he's in school, and he wasn't getting out of school.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God.
Brotherly love.
Yeah, the family dynamics have definitely been affected through all of this, but not really, except that they're more open and blatant. Like everything with brain injury.
Right. Well, speak to that just a moment. I mean, if your son was on the your other son was on the show, what would he be saying?
He would be talking about how difficult it was to be the only one left in the community because we, his parents, their dad and I, were either at work or up in the hospital with Stephen, and Nathan was in the school where all of the drama was, you know, just a huge turmoil. He had people come to him every moment of the day and tell him, ask him how Stephen was. He heard people talk like they were Stephen's best friend when they hardly knew him. It was a very, very, very difficult time for him. And one thing I would recommend to school districts when there is a survivor in the school system is that they protect them as best they can from that. And our school district did a wonderful job being supportive in every way, but that was something we just didn't know at the time, and we didn't realize the need for that, or they absolutely would have put those measures in place. But now that is something that I hope to help make school districts aware of in this kind of a situation, is spare the survivors, you know, put a shield around them. They're dealing with enough of their own issues. It's exhausting. It's exhausting to have to answer the question over and over and over again, how's Stephen, because you don't know the answer early on. And you appreciate the concern. You're so grateful for the support and for the prayers. But at the same time, you have to face that reality that you don't know. You just don't know how your son or your brother is.
Right.
So it's very difficult.
Sure, that was a very emotional time for everyone.
Yeah, it was. His older brother, when they transferred Stephen, when the decision had to be made where Stephen was going to go, that was one of the most difficult days of my life because I couldn't fathom sending him that far away, as vulnerable as he was. I mean, he was like a newborn again. He was completely vulnerable. And the decision had to be made, and my first thought was I'm relocating to Nebraska, but quickly reality set in, and I knew that I couldn't because I still had his brother Nathan to think about, his little brother, and I also would have to quit my job, and I wouldn't have a home to bring Stephen to when he was released. So when reality set in, my heart was just broken, and his brother Aaron, I have four sons, Caleb, Aaron, Stephen, and Nathan. His brother Aaron, when he heard the situation that Stephen was being transported and the concern of not having someone up there with him, automatically said, I'll go. And he did. He picked up. He moved to Nebraska. He stayed with family, extended family up there. And he was there for his brother's therapies. He was there for his brother in every imaginable way. And he is a hero.
It certainly sounds like it. That is a lot for a young man to give up. How old was he at the time when he did this for his brother?
20 years old.
Amazing. That is such a selfless act of kindness.
It was.
Right. And so fortunately you did have extended family in the area?
It's my sister-in-law's aunt and uncle, Aunt Frieda and Uncle John Meyer, and they were so supportive. Aaron stayed there with them, and we love them like our own family. They are our own family now. And when I was able to go up, I went up almost every weekend eventually. I stayed with Bob and Diane Kinneman, and they were family of some of our church friends, our very close church friends, and I had met them when they came to visit, and they were the parents of Brad and Glenda Kinneman, Brad Kinneman's folks, and they let me stay there. And just tremendous generosity. And at that time, Stephen's girlfriend was Rihanna, and she went up with me every time I went up, almost. So they opened their homes to us, and they welcomed us.
Well, that is, you know, just so many angels in your life helping you and looking out for you and your family. That's just really amazing, and how fortunate you were to have those supports.
I can't imagine what we would have. I mean, we would have found a way, but it made everything so much better to have Aunt Frieda come and visit Stephen and give me updates. To have them open their home and be there and support Aaron.
And give me ice cream.
Yeah, she brought Stephen ice cream once he could swallow, and just supported Stephen. And I can't tell you how many times I poured my heart out to Diane, and she ministered to me every time with wisdom and grace. And it was huge. It was huge.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, it's time to take a short break again. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn. And this is Gail Taylor with Brain Train, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Therapy Services offers integrated listening systems programs that improve emotional regulation while training the brain to process sensory information. This improves our regulation and processing and our ability to focus, think, and engage successfully in social situations. ILS can be successfully applied to a wide variety of conditions, including learning and retention and performance optimization. ILS has also helped people with neurodevelopmental disorders, autism spectrum disorders, as well as other psychological and emotional issues and rehabilitation from traumatic brain injuries. For more information about integrated listening systems, please visit the TBI information section of therapyservicesonline.com to find out how simple it is to bring an ILS unit into your home for a reasonable cost through the ILS home rental program. Work with Gail Taylor today. Visit www.therapyservicesonline.com.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Brain Train. To reach Gail Taylor or her guest on today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to gail@therapyservicesonline.com. Now, back to Brain Train.
Welcome back to Brain Train, and I'm your host, Gail Taylor, and we have with us Stephen Britnell and his mother, Becky, and we have been talking about his traumatic brain injury and his recovery and rehabilitation, and we were just talking about the family dynamics after a brain injury, when something so traumatic happens within the family. What can you share with us about that, Becky?
Well, filters are a big part of brain injury, and that's the term that they use for being able to process appropriate reactions to different situations. With Stephen, he was so open and loving toward me after the accident. That's not always the case with parents. There's often a lot of hostility on the part of the brain injury victim, the survivor. I think the family might be the victims and survivors, the ones who inflict on them. But he was very loving and open toward me, but his brothers, he was not. He resented Aaron as not so much early on, but as time went on, he came to resent Aaron more and more. He was very hostile toward Nathan when he came home, which made it even more difficult for Nathan to deal with and cope with. There was a shift just a couple of months ago. We went to a Harlem Globetrotters game, and they went down to the table together, and Stephen walks without any help now. He doesn't use a walker. I try to get him to use a cane, but he fights me on that. But they went down, and on the way back up, I noticed Nathan. In fact, I took a picture of Nathan and Stephen coming back up the steps, and Stephen was allowing Nathan to help him. I don't know how or why, but that seemed to be a breaking point. And now they're able to laugh and joke and have a better relationship. There's still, you know, the brotherly angst involved, but it's a lot better now. It was very difficult early on.
Oh, yes, I can imagine. I can imagine. Because the different roles that each person had within the family dynamic changed.
It did, and I, you know, I'm not sure that Stephen realized why he was so angry at Nathan, but I think on a level, it was difficult for him, for his little brother, to be able to do things that he wasn't able to do. It was difficult for him to have to rely on his little brother for help that he didn't want, and he's giving me a dirty look right now, but I think it's at the base of everything.
It's not a dirty look, it's just a what the heck look.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot going on a level that Stephen wasn't completely aware of. And for Nathan, it was very difficult for his big brother to see his big brother in a vulnerable position and then to receive that hostility when what he wanted to feel was compassion. And then he felt anger because of the hostility. But that also is a weird dynamic because that kind of fueled Stephen's recovery as well. You know, that kind of challenging each other, iron sharpens iron. And believe me, there was a lot of sword clashing going on in the house. And the only thing I could do is separate them as much as possible. But that was very difficult. And I'm so glad now that we're able to do things as a family without that hostility and that animosity. It's a big relief.
And one thing I noticed, you know, when I'd been to your home and some of your boys were there, is they don't baby Stephen.
Oh, no.
They don't baby him at all.
Well, they've been raised in a fairly military-style home. Their dad is a Marine, and they were raised, our house was called Britnell Boot Camp when they were young. And that's kind of the way that was the approach they defaulted to. Don't baby, challenge, you know. Don't pity, make him rise up. And I think it's been had a huge impact on his recovery. It's been a big factor in it.
Yes, because he is consistently challenged all the time. You know, you can do this or do that yourself. You're capable.
Yep.
And I see that a lot there, and it's been a strength in his recovery.
His stepdad also has been very, very adamant not to baby him.
You guys call that challenging? I call that...
filter.
Yeah, that one.
Filter. Humor also has been a huge factor in all of this. Our faith and our sense of humor, if you don't laugh about it, it will destroy you. So
right.
We have found the things that we can laugh at, and we've probably made some things that we shouldn't laugh at into things that we can laugh at.
And that was a pretty entertaining part of my brain injury is on the Well, it was called the confused agitated state, where it laughed at everything, like everything.
Yeah, coming out the Rancho level, I think it's 7 or 8, is confused agitated, and instead of being angry and cursing, he laughed.
Oh, he laughed at everything, huh?
Yep.
Well, I am glad to see that you are doing so well.
Thanks.
And I know that you have really improved with use of the ILS system, that, you know, you've not only used in therapy, but you've used at home.
Yes.
And so I just wanted to remind everyone that they can go to the host site and they can learn more about the ILS home rental program, or they can go to my website at therapyservicesonline.com. And they can learn more about the Integrated Listening System, or ILS, home rental program, and they can contact me through my website. And be sure to like us on Facebook, and be sure to look at us on Twitter and LinkedIn. And is there anything, any words of wisdom, Stephen, that you would like to give the listeners who are possibly recovering from brain injury or their family members?
Don't give up.
Don't give up. And that's very, very important. And I know that that you're quite a spiritual family.
Yeah.
Yes. And I know that, you know, you use your spirituality to help bring you up. And has that been your strength throughout this, Stephen?
Much, yeah.
Yes?
Yep.
And I understand you're real active in church and youth groups?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you enjoy going to church camp and things?
Yeah, I was a youth pastor for the first probably 14 or 15 years of his life, so it's been a big part of our family life and our home life.
Well, that's excellent, and I'm glad you were able to find strength there, and especially Stephen, because he's been such a, you know, a good example of don't give up, don't quit, and just keep going no matter what. And when you fall down, get back up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There was one, I don't know if we have time. How much time do we have?
We just have a few, less than a minute.
There was one particular verse from Joshua. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I sang that to him while he was in a coma. And when he was at Madonna, they used music therapy to get his speech patterns back, because speech is rushed at first, and I started singing that song to him, and he filled in every other word. So I didn't teach him that song before the accident, so I know that he heard me while he was in the coma, and that would be another encouragement to families who are facing this. They can hear you. Talk to them. Give them hope.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen and Becky, for being on the show today. And I'm so glad that you're doing so well, and we'll be back next week with Brain Train, and I'm your host, Gail Taylor.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Brain Train. Please tune in next week for another program featuring your host, Gail Taylor. We'll be here next Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a great week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.